cigarettes are all you can get, turning your orbit around. Last cigarettes are all you can get, turning your orbit around. Last cigarettes are all you can get, turning.
This is Brian Kernahan, and you are listening to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM, Tufts Educational Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good evening, rather. I'm saying good afternoon like the sunlight is still out. Shame on me. This is the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Bedford, Tufts Street Farm Radio. Very early disclaimer, if I sound like complete crap, that is because I am not at my best, but here I am. Perks of working in radio. You may feel like less than 100%, but you still show up to do it anyway because it is what you love. So, without further ado, I have a special esteemed guest in studio for the next 2 hours. We're on the air until 8 o'clock tonight. And won't you just say hello so for those that don't, we may not know, because they have no idea, sort of.
All right, so, like Penta, also known as the Bruins Cowboy.
Yeah, he's in tonight. In about less than 15 minutes, there'll be someone calling in, actually. And you, yourself, yours truly can call in whenever. At 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. So we're not even going to waste time. We're just going to get to the heart of the matter. Listen, I know that Valentine's Day is not for another month, and we are already having our hearts strung along like a semi-wanted lover who is basically just wondering, is he or she into me? That's how we feel as Patriots fans right now. I don't know about you, but frankly, it's only, what, day three, and I'm annoyed. Because seriously, this whole drama of, by the way, is Brady going to stay? Is Belichick going to stay? Robert Kraft, why don't you just grow a pair and just step in for once? Thank you very much. Thank you. That's how I feel right about now. Tell me how you really feel right about now, Mike. Tell me.
Like you said, we've talked about this earlier. I'm just baffled. You want Kraft to step in, but then again, you don't want him to step in and then Belichick turn around and go, look, you already stepped in once when I got rid of Garoppolo.
Yep.
What's the deal now? You know, do you have him come in, step in? Because you know it's going to come down to a money issue.
Without question.
Without question.
Yeah.
So does he come in, step in? Mm-hmm. Go ahead and do, you know, say, hey, look, I want Tom, and this is the way it's go. And then do you have Belichick going, well, if you want Tom, that's fine, but I'm out of here.
But, you know, one of the things that, and we have 2 hours to get really into this, but I want to start off by this very premise here. Today, we had an opportunity to really kind of digest everything that went on since Saturday night, since that pick six that started to whole release the hounds of dynasty's over. It's done. Is this the end of the Patriots dynasty as we know it? Yes, it's done. Oh, they had 20 years. It's all said and done now. Woo! But history has shown that when you put the cart before the horse, you come back with a burnt out barn.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's happening now yet again. The national media at its own righteous pristine already writing up the pad saying dynasty's done. It's going to fall apart. All that fun stuff. Now, where I'm going with this is this. Where I'm going is, if you are one who is an impartial observer and you're observing all this from the outside, knowing what you know now in terms of the contract negotiations between the Patriots, Bill Belichick, and Tom Brady, quarterback, greatest of all time, you have to be thinking, well, why should I pay $25 million to a quarterback who clearly regressed, albeit you did have legitimate factors as to why he regressed? But for those who say, oh, no, no, you just continue to make excuses. But the issues were really there. They were very real from the beginning of the season. So my question to you is, if you're New England, how much of it is a real factor when you bring that into contract negotiations? Because they have between now and March 17th, the day before the start of the new league year. So
They got to figure out something, because at this point, like you said, they only have until March.
Yeah.
Okay? Factors were, yes, he's getting older. We all know this.
Yeah.
He's starting to take more and more hits.
He's going to be 43 come August 3rd.
Exactly.
Put that in your cake.
So he's taking hits.
Yeah.
His defensive line isn't holding up. His offense is not there.
His offensive line got worse, actually.
Exactly. He don't have an offense. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking, and let's not forget, too,
yeah,
Tom has stayed here. Tom is taking a league-friendly cut every year.
Yeah.
At what point, if you're an impartial person looking outside, I'd turn around and say, he's not going to take the impartial, he's not going to take the league-friendly cut right now. He's not.
No.
He shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
I mean, in reality, he's done everything he can within his power to make this team go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And has he digressed? Yes, he's definitely digressed.
Mm.
But then again, he don't have his weapons to throw to.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you say, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it.
You can't.
Can't do it.
And the thing is, you go back to the night of September 6th. That was a Saturday. Breaking news. Wait, what is it? Patriots signed Antonio Brown. Forget about it. Just throw the parade now. They're going to win it all again. Woo! No one's going to beat this team. Forget about it. Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Well, because everybody, when Antonio Brown was signed, everybody thought it was another Randy Moss. They thought they were going to go.
Yes.
They thought they were going to 16-0.
I myself, too.
Yeah.
Considering that the day that it happened, we're not taking a roll down memory lane, but the day it happened, the thought was, and I remember thinking, wow, there's no point in having an NFL season. You know?
We got this.
I mean, we have Antonio Brown, all is right in the world. Oh my God, Bill Belichick, you sly son of a gun. How could you? But a week later, nah, you got to go. Bye-bye.
Yep.
You got to go. And now you're left with what? Scraps of metal that you can't even use to build a car. You can't.
And the one good piece that you had, he's getting beat up. He's getting double-teamed the whole time. Yeah. Edelman?
The engine?
Everybody knows.
The little squirrel?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, completely beat up.
That squirrel ain't getting a nut.
No. He wasn't getting no nut on some weeks.
Nope.
And, I mean, no pun intended, but it's one of those things where the whole league knew after week four, that was your best target in Edelman, because Jacoby Myers? Sure. Oh, Philip Dorsett? Sure.
No
sure.
Run game. Nothing.
No run game. What's going on with Sony Michel? Oh, that guy. He regressed in year two. Oh, James Devlin. Oh, he's on IR. He had that neck injury in week two against Miami. Right. So with all of the plethora of issues that they had.
And then your kickers.
And then your, oh, God.
Oh.
Oh, the kickers. That's
a whole other show.
Yeah, that's a whole other show for that. But considering all of the issues that the offense had and so forth, And the talk surrounding Brady's getting a year older, he's going to be 43 and so forth. And his frustration showed at times, but none more so than that Sunday night game against the Houston Texans a few weeks back, where you saw him basically explode. Wow. Like, it was just like, what are we working with here? Like, what do we have here?
And he even had he went out with McDaniels earlier in the season too.
Yeah,
I mean, literally, you could see them on the sideline, and he was balling them out.
Yeah, and it was just like, what are we doing here? The defense was carrying you the first 8 weeks, but I mentioned something yesterday that I'm going to say it again on the show live right now. Calvin Noy, your biggest problem is that you should have shut up.
Oh.
You should have shut up and not proclaim your unit to be, the boogeyman. Wax. Here comes Baltimore. 37 points. Wax. Here comes Kansas City. You can't stop a run? Or you can't stop Devontae Walker in week 17? When your supposed defensive player of the year gets burned like burnt toast in a toaster on Sunday morning. All this talk you want to do, and you couldn't even shut up when it mattered the most.
Yeah.
And that is part of my grievance with the 2019 Patriots. It's like, you spoke too soon. Because remember, after week 3 and week 4, Pats are 4-0. No one's giving us respect. Oh, my God. They're saying this. They're saying that. But who did you beat? But I'm not going to lie. I was one of those that was like, wow, you really ain't giving the Patriots no respect. But you didn't really beat anybody.
True.
But, and it sucks to say, but I'm going to say it live on the air anyway. They were right.
Yep. And it gave other teams time to find the weakness and then just
Baltimore. Oh, Lamar Jackson. Scoop. Oh, Mark Ingram. Skidoo. Oh, by the way, what are they playing? Oh, they're playing on, that's right, Saturday night. Against who? Oh, that's right. The same team that beat you.
Yep.
On that Sunday night game. Oh, yep. That's right. So, after all, they're nothing but a bunch of frauds. And the part that makes it so disgusting is the fact that you had those who, they were just not ready to face the hard truth while still relishing in the fact that, wow, it's basically New England against everyone else. That wasn't the case. It was more of like New England against themselves.
Yeah, because it was an implode.
From the inside out.
Yeah.
And here's the kicker. The part that got me was, so much has been made about the offensive line and the issues that has been long withstanding this season. You lose, remember, you lost David Andrews at the beginning of the year due to blood clots in his lung.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And that turned out to be a huge loss because the fact you had to use freaking Marshall Newhouse at left tackle while Isaiah Wynn was out. Oh, my God. Yeah, it kind of makes me cringe just a little bit just thinking about it. But they had no blocking up front. But even when they had some sort of semblance of blocking in the run game, it was as if Sony Michel was just like, oh, I got to run to contact? Smack. Oh, I got to run between the gaps? Oh, yeah, you do. Spank. So it's one of those things where it's just like, my God. If you're New England, what do you do at this point? And what direction do you begin to turn? Because you have a whole laundry list of questions and issues that you need to address. Not starting March 18th, starting now.
And you have 16 players this right from now until March.
Yeah.
16 players that are free agents. Okay? You've got Brady.
Yeah.
Devin McCourty. Van Noy.
I'm amazed we're not even talking enough about Devin McCourty in terms of his importance, in terms of his pending free agency, but continue.
Yeah. Slater, Dorsett, Collins, mm-hmm. Ebner, Shelton,
yeah.
Falk, Newhouse, Watson, Calhoun, Roberts.
Wow.
I mean, that's just, I mean, a couple more. You've got all these guys on free agent right now.
Uh-huh.
Plus Tom Brady.
And that's the top, that's on top of the mountain. Tom Brady.
Exactly.
So,
and he's on the side of the head of that mountain. And you know, if you want to get these other guys to sign or bring anybody else in, your selling point now and forever will be Tom Brady.
Yeah. Because especially if you are, if you're New England and you're saying to yourself, any roster moves that we make is going to have to be around Tom Brady, not only the quarterback, but also potentially the salary. Because the reality is you can't really do much of anything unless you know how much. If Brady says, you know, I want to come back, but what's the price? I would just offer you $15 million. I'm sorry, what? No, I'll leave. I'll either go elsewhere or I'll just retire. Although I don't want to, and he said in his own words, not close to retirement, that he doesn't have to resort to that last option. Because he's at a point now where it's like, you have only about so many options here. Of course, there are going to be teams that's going to be like, we could bite the bullet for Brady. Sure, why not? No, absolutely not.
Take the shot.
Well, I'll take the shot. But at what price? Oh, we want $30 million? Here you go. 3 years, $30 million. Oh, don't worry. $55 million of it will be guaranteed. Oh, New England. Hi, buddy. They're giving me... I'm sorry. We don't have the money right now. But we'd like to thank you for your 20 years of service. And we have to make the best decisions to move forward for our organization. Wow.
And their reaction to that would be is, we offered Tom. He didn't want it.
He didn't. Dude, that's exactly why Kraft is beginning the process of, let's cover our bushy tails so that in case if that happens, no, we offered, but he chose to go elsewhere.
And you got to look at it this way, too.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense for Kraft and the organization.
Yeah.
You keep Brady, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not only that, look at, you know what sales of Patriot stuff, shirts, and everything else, if he goes, will just go down the sewer.
Oh, without question.
So you may be saving, I'll just make a number here, you may be saving $10 million. But you're losing $30 million in sales because he's not here anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're looking at it at a financial stance, there's one way of looking at it. I mean, this guy goes, there still may be sellers' shirts, you know, but everybody's going to say, well, I'm not, how many people are going to look at it and go, well, anybody want to buy my season tickets? Comes time for renewal.
And that's
what happened with the Bruins when all the everybody
oh,
after a while.
God,
every Boston team, once they start tanking or something goes wrong, you've got those type of fans that just turn around and then their season tickets are gone. They either sell them off, they don't return, and then what are you gonna do afterwards?
Exactly.
Every team has done that.
The Patriots just haven't had to have done that in how long? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, your response answers my question. Yeah, like,
I mean, I can remember when they were bad, okay? Like, my buddy's got two sets, you know? My buddy Mike's got two sets of season tickets.
Wow.
I guarantee Brady don't return, he might have one set because I can guarantee he'll look at it and go, how am I going to sell these tickets now? Mm-hmm. You know, I'll go to a game, but how am I going to get rid of these?
Yeah.
You know, tickets
exactly.
are $40, maybe sell them $10 each.
And it's one of those things where there's massive ramifications of it, but we're going to take a quick music break. But when we return, there was an article in the Boston Globe that I'm going to get into that, oh man, you already have an idea. That was written by Chad Finn of the Boston Globe today, and it was a terrific piece. But there was something that he said, or some things that he said that actually got us thinking, what if this turns out to be a repeat of what he's done or what Belichick has done historically? That and much more coming up on the Shukri Wright Show alongside with Bruins Cowboy Mike Pinta. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. We'll be back in a flash. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Street Farm Radio. I gotta tell you, while we were on break, you mentioned about David McCartney, and it was just one of those things where it was like, wow, you don't realize that there are so many other free agents to be for the Patriots that you almost forget. that it's not just Brady who is going to be a free agent soon to be in a very short time, but
especially someone like McCourty. I mean, every week he was getting a pick.
Yeah, essentially. But we have Lucky Lou on the line. He's going to join us now on the True Grit Right Show alongside with Bruins Cowboy Mike Pinta, live on WMFO Medford. What's going on, brother? How's it going? Happy New Year to you.
Good. Thanks for having me on. I wish I could have been there, but I'm stuck at work, so I get about 20 minutes.
it happens. But we've been talking about the story of last 2-3 days. And
I heard. I have a comment. I was listening to you guys, I think this is like one of those situations where, yes, we have all these free agents. We got all this going on, but it's a holding pattern.
Oh, absolutely.
You're not going to hear anything before you hear about Brady, and you're not going to hear anything before you hear about Belichick. And you know, we're also seeming to forget that there's a offensive coach that is might be leaving too. Those are the three key factors. If everybody else is, yeah, they're free agents, but I think they're not going to say whether they're retiring or going parting ways until they find out if anybody's coming back. Because in the perfect world, you know, Brady, Belichick, and everybody says, hey, we're coming back, and then everybody else is like, why wouldn't I re-sign?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think we're getting hit with that. I mean, it's gonna be a tough 2 months waiting to playing that game, and we're gonna see it all over the news, and we're gonna hear about, you know, Brady has a house, you know, up for sale, and all these other things. But
he hasn't given
an indication that he's preferring to go anywhere either.
Exactly, and don't worry for all of you listening. Like I'll be all over it. So trust me. Although, I mean, football season here in New England is over, but trust me, I will be on top of this story.
Within the next two months,
until whatever happens. But there's a column that I read earlier today, and I'm sharing this with you and as well as the listeners. And I showed this to Mike because it got us both thinking. History says you don't discount the dynasty, especially after a disappointing year. Now, Chad Flynn wrote a terrific column today in the Boston Globe, and there was a piece here that I'm gonna read to you as well as the listener, and we're gonna talk about this in great detail. He said, quote, in Belichick's 20-season tenure, I'd argue that three of the most disappointing seasons were, in some order, 2002, 2006, and 2009. I recognize that other seasons ended with agonizing losses, but it's still an achievement worth appreciating to reach a Super Bowl. And a Super Bowl loss doesn't necessarily suggest roster turnover is necessary. In 2008 is in its own category since Brady was lost for the season halfway through the first quarter of the first game. So consider 2002. The Patriots began their first title defense with a 3-0 start back when we still appreciated 3-0 starts. But the wheels came off fairly quickly, and turned out that the three-headed safety trio of Lawyer Malloy, Tabucky Jones, and Victor Green wasn't as innovative as it first seemed, and he fell to 3-3 before finishing 9-7 and missing the playoffs on the season's final day. How did Belichick respond to the disappointing sequel of the 0-1 championship? He went out and signed hotshot linebacker Roosevelt Colvin, and Chargers discard, you know, some people may remember some guy named Rodney Harrison in free agency. Harrison was essential as the Patriots won the next two Super Bowls. The 2006 season was successful by most measures. The Patriots reached the AFC title game, losing to the Colts, who roared back in the second half after trailing 20-3 at the break. Colleague Christopher Price drew some compelling parallels between the 06 Patriots and the 2019 team in a recent piece, noting in particular that the lack of high-end weapons Brady had to work with in both seasons. Rich Caldwell was decent that season, and Jabbar Gaffney came off the street to aid the cause, but second-rounder Chad Jackson flopped and never suitably replaced Deion Branch, traded to Seattle in a contract dispute, and David Givens, who left for Tennessee as a free agent. Well, Belichick took care of the weapons issue after that season, stealing Randy Moss from the Raiders and Wes Welker from the Dolphins and setting up what would be the most prolific offense in NFL history in 2007. For good measure, he also signed Ravens linebacker Adelius Thomas to a big money deal to boost the defense. While Thomas was ultimately a bust, he was their best defender in their first Super Bowl loss to the New York Giants. Thomas was one of the malcontents Belichick cleaned out after the 09 season, ended in the wild card route by the Ravens. That was probably the most uninspiring Patriots team of this tenure. Belichick didn't spend big in free agency after that season, but he did dump players such as Thomas, Derek Burgess, and Sean Springs, who didn't buy in. And he completely reshaped the offense via the draft by choosing tight ends. Remember this guy, Rob Gronkowski, and in the second round, and some guy named Aaron Hernandez in the fourth round. It's pretty remarkable to realize that for the four games in the 2010 season before Moss was traded, the Patriots had him, Gronk, Welker, Hernandez, and Julian Edelman on the team at the same time. Well, all of that being said by Chad Finn in the Globe today, I got to ask you, do you think, just regardless of whoever's going to be at quarterback, that Belichick repeats something similar in terms of retooling this offense? Because you and I know, just like any other Patriots fan in this region, their wide receiving group was just abysmal at best. That's probably the nicest way I could put it.
Well, I agree. I think actually he does. Regardless of who's quarterback, receivers are a big thing. And there was no run this year, so I wouldn't see if you see some change as running backs. There was so many components missing on the offense this year, and it did start with Antonio Brown. We got him in,
yeah,
and then he went, and we really didn't replace him. You know, and I hate to say it, but you know, even that one extra body could have spread that field out. So
absolutely,
take some relief off Edelman.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Because Edelman, I'm sorry, he's been playing hurt. I don't know if he is actually hurt, but he looks like he's playing hurt.
Oh, for the amount of times he was getting double-teamed. He's hurt.
Shoulder and knee. That's what it was for several weeks on the injury report. Shoulder and knees.
Right. I mean, how that dropped pass at the end, near the end of the game,
was just the
perfect sign that he wasn't right. We all knew he wasn't right, but he was a big shadow of himself from last year.
Absolutely.
And I don't think he didn't regress or anything. I think that's just, you know.
Well, there was other weapons last year. That's
exactly.
But I agree. I think that Belichick, they're going to look at it. And I just read something this morning, and I didn't read too far into it, but the Pats did sign 8 players today. So they are looking, and they're already looking. But I think still we have a factor of if Brady comes back, and I think this is will probably tick some people off when I say it. You got him for a maximum of 3 years. This if he does come back, this is about getting a replacement.
Yeah.
Beyond him, you get him because there's nothing better when you have somebody who's Tom Brady to teach the next quarterback. Hey, this is how to do it. There's a certain quarterback on the 49ers that knows a little bit about that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
As he's still in the playoffs. So I think I'm hoping that's the move that they do, is they do bring Brady back, they do scout and get another quarterback, and then they really go forward with the transition. Because if it ends now,
yeah,
it's going to be a wake-up call for everybody next season.
Yeah, because if it ends, talk about rebuilding this team. It's going to be years.
Rebuilding is a strong term I wouldn't even use. And that's only because, if anything, I would call it retooling. Because let's face it, if he had to rebuild his entire roster from bottom up, I don't think that he would go as far as stripping and selling off pieces that could still help him contend and so forth. Obviously, Brady being the big piece, but before the show that Teddy Bridgewater is one option. There are some viable quarterbacks on the free agent market that also could be available on the trading mark coming in the spring. So it's one of those things where it's not the end-all, be-all in terms of quarterbacks, in terms of the quality competition at the quarterback position, especially now that we know, keep this in mind, Patriot fans, that Tua Tagovailoa, he's entering the draft this year. Yeah. That news broke yesterday.
Yeah.
So that could also be interesting as to how does it look at the combine. Do the Patriots make a move up in the draft to go get him? That's something that could also be in play as well.
Yeah, but my opinion is when it comes to the draft, Belichick always scares me.
Oh, God.
I mean,
except for one instance.
Yeah, one instance, true. But even then, back then, that was a gamble.
It was.
It paid off, but...
Only the sadist here, but what do I think if we have to look at the draft, that's when the league's going to say, hey, remember that quote-unquote cheating incident? We're going to go with your draft pick for you. And I that's another factor that a lot of people aren't talking about.
Yeah.
If Brady does call it quits and the league does say, hey, guess what, you got no draft pick, then you may actually see...
No first rounder at that. Oh, God.
Yeah, you might actually see some players saying... Well, the rebuild, or not rebuild, but this team isn't going to be a championship team next year. It might be time to set sail. And like I said, it's one or two dominoes. If Brady stays, that draft pick becomes less important. It's still pretty important.
Absolutely.
But maybe that draft pick, if he stays, is a good bargaining chip to bring in some receiver or some good running back.
Yeah, potentially, yeah.
But I do think, and the league is kind of sticking with, that they're saying that the Patriots, at least the front office, didn't know that these guys were filming. So that was the last word on it, that they said that they didn't know about it. And that's pretty surprising with, you know, Goodell in the chair he's been.
Yeah.
So are we talking about the Patriots or the Red Sox? Yeah.
Oh, man. We're going to get to the Red Sox at the 7 o'clock hour, so stay tuned, everybody. Yeah, because something did break about the team today that is absolutely... going to be a must discuss, and we will, but later on. But continue for right now. Right now for terms of the Patriots. Now, I got this is my first time asking you this question. I think it's worth bringing up. At the end of it all, do you think Brady returns, and if so, under what circumstances?
I think he is going to return. I can see why he's a little. He probably has something, you know, there's a lot more going behind the scenes. And, you know, we don't know what he's been discussing with the family. There is something there.
And the family is a big factor.
Our family is a big influence, I think, bigger than we realize. And also, I think he may have, if he thinks he didn't, if he may have turned a corner, he didn't perform because of his body. He said it before. If it was because of him and he didn't think he didn't do well because of his, you know, physicality, he would retire.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's mulling that over, having a bad season. I mean, he led the league in thrown away passes this year, but that could be because he didn't have the receiver. It's what goes through his mind that says, you know what, I'm going to call it a day, or you know what, I can't go out this way.
Yeah.
I can't see him going to another team only because... I mean, what team's going to take a 43-year-old that just needs a quarterback to finish it off? Because I don't see him going to a team to end up, you know, 8-8.
Especially especially a rebuilding situation, no way.
Right.
I mean, people have been saying the Chargers. I mean, some others have been saying, what about a team in the NFC, perhaps? I'm like... Do you really think that Brady wants to go to a place where he's basically a part of a rebuild at any given point now? Like now at this juncture? No. It's just inconceivable.
Or any other team or area that for years now have hated his guts.
Yeah.
You know? And the other thing too.
In
the early day, you got the guys. What was that, Lou?
I said you're not gonna see him go to the Giants, you know?
Or even the Colts.
Yeah.
But one of the factors of him returning may be, look, I didn't go out the way I want to or there. And, you know, I might stay if I see what the organization's doing about getting me help. You know, if you've got some guys in the pipeline that you're saying, all right, this guy, you know, we'll work with him or we're looking into getting, you know, certain people. Maybe that may be the factor of him coming in and staying.
Yeah.
But he's got to look at it, too, going, look, I can do my job. You need to get me my defense, and you need, you know, to keep me good, because I need my pocket. I can do what I can
he
do.
He needs weapons.
You know, and that's the other thing is he needs, you know, yeah. If you can get me, you give me my pocket, you give me a target, I'll hit it.
For sure.
You know, that's one of those things, watching the Dolphins game, going back at that and looking. Yeah. The defense, at least the offensive line, they were actually getting it done. There was times where he would sit in that pocket for 6, 7, 8 seconds.
Yep.
Yeah.
And have nothing to throw at. And people are not getting free. And Edelman, when Edelman wasn't out there, there was nobody getting free. And then they were running these, you know, 1 yard runs and, you know, not getting. I mean, the last eight, you know, maybe seven games, how awful was your third down conversions?
It was actually, if not near the worst in the league, was definitely very, very pedestrian.
I think it was the third from the last.
Third from the last of the league, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, these other factors, and Brady, I believe he's a numbers guy, even though he may or may not say it. Probably looking and saying, if you guys can't put anything around me, I am gone. Because I'm not going to continue, you know, with everybody else that's a free agent. Why should I continue if I don't have a chance at winning? You know, money has always been a factor, but it really hasn't been a factor for him. He doesn't want money. He wants another, you know, ring. And if he doesn't feel like he can get one in the next year or two, I can't imagine why he would stay.
I mean, because another thing, too, it's for the money issue. Number one, look at his wife. Look at his family situation. There's money there. And if it was a money issue, he could he could start raking in on other deals. He could start doing commercials. Could start doing radio. Could start doing some shows and stuff like that. If it's a money issue, you know,
right?
I don't see that.
I never thought it was a money issue. I never have thought it, and I know
it's a respect issue.
Because look at how many times he's taken the cut.
Right, and
he's the one who's been mostly taking the cut. He's been renegotiating so it's cheaper, so he can help the team out. So when they say, "Oh, he's been making less," it's not like they haven't offered him. I believe they've actually have offered him more, and he's taken less so he can have better pieces around him. The question is that possible now?
And that's what's going to be the fun part, especially now considering that. Remember, he already has his weekly radio interview with, you know, his buddy, his pal, Jim Gray. You know, also he does his weekly spot with WEEI as well here locally. So I don't think money has much of an issue as it has to do with, listen, I've taken all these cuts for so many years. All I'm asking you is to give me the money that I feel that I'm worthy of. And for God's sakes, stop giving me mediocre to average NFL talent at the skills position, because that's what Belichick has been doing the last couple of years, providing very average to below average NFL talent at the skill position, and it's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch because it's like I've been saying, there's only a matter of time before it comes back to burn you because you just can't continue to win that way. But we've done it this way for so long, but it's worked. But our system works. Yes, but not with an aging quarterback.
Right.
That's the difference.
It's worked up until now. It even worked up last year. We obviously winning.
Yeah.
But, you know, that nobody wants to see these huge comebacks and, you know, struggling to win. I don't care if we, you know, if we get to the playoffs and we have to go through, you know, wild card game and then we win it all. As long as we win, but
right.
But I don't. Brady got this year. You could see it. He's frustrated. A lot of games.
But not
and,
only that,
and
is,
they never looked great. Even when they weren't winning, when they were winning and they were undefeated, they didn't look great. The defense was winning all these games.
But like you were saying about mediocre plays. But at least when he did have them, he had three or four. When you had Welker, Amendola, you know, you had three or
Chris
four.
Hogan, don't
Chris
forget.
Hogan, yeah. You had three or four different mediocre players, so you could pull it off.
Like
you only had one this year, and that was and it was Edelman. Not saying he's mediocre, but you only had one viable receiver all year.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
You had Amendola. You had Chris Hogan. You never did anything to bring them to replace that talent. Not saying that they were all pro, but the truth is, those were key pieces to an offense that that was performing at a high level in even 2016 to 17.
Yeah.
So my thing is, if you're going to take those pieces away, fine. But you got to replace it with something. You can't take away average pieces and replace it with nothing and still think you're going to have a well-oiled machine. It's just that's just not going to work.
And they got rid of those players, and I think the one that really hurt us this year too is Gronk retiring.
Absolutely.
Because that wasn't the team saying goodbye. That was him saying, I'm
done with football. Period. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what else? He also toyed around with the team, the fans, and hinting he was potentially coming back. He obviously didn't, you know, but I my God, I almost don't want to see him on TV anymore, especially after poor Steve Harvey's. I'm not going to lie. I was like, did he just really do that?
I think Steve Harvey looked in and said, did he just really do that?
And I'm going to say it again. If you want a bold prediction, Gronk's going to do this at the beginning of next season, too. He's going to start tooling around, pretending like he's going to come back or something, especially
But Kraft played into that, too, because Kraft kept on saying, well, he hasn't officially filed his retirement papers yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Kraft was playing into that, too. And that's what made
He was playing along this whole thing. Right. It was just like...
So if I'm looking at it and I hear Kraft playing into it, also maybe he really is coming back. Maybe this is a gambit that they were playing. Well, when you hear Kraft saying, well, he hasn't filed his papers yet, I'm believing it. I'm a sucker for it.
Exactly.
I really thought it, and I'll be honest with you, I thought there was a potential for him to come back, but the reality was he was just using the spotlight for his business.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's furthering his career, obviously, and that's what he wants to do. And I just, you know, of course, don't see him coming back. And believe me, if people are holding their breath, I don't know what you are holding it for, because he ain't coming back.
Yeah, you can see the mass that he's lost.
Absolutely.
Too.
Yeah.
That'll be a good.
Like, I feel like the whole expectation and the hope that Gronk was going to come back during this past season was, that's all on the fans. Because I've been very consistent on social media saying he's not coming back. You look at his physique now back then versus when he played, it was like, there's no way. You expecting to gain all that mass back, how? I didn't see it as being a realistic possibility at all. I mean, for whatever reason, that some Patriot fans were living in this fantasy with, oh, he's going to come back, you know, just in time for the playoffs. I'm like, I don't see it.
Yeah.
And then when he made it very clear he wasn't coming back, it was like, how can you let us down? But when you replace Gronk, or like, at least try to, with Matt Lacoste, yes, there's going to be a drop-off in talent, but really? You expect that to work? I just don't see how.
Ultimately, I think what we're talking about, though, is team distractions. How distracting is it to hear your team mention Gronk's coming back or you know, you guys are cheating and all these other things that are popping up, too, during the season, and then have people talk about, hey, what's wrong with Brady half the season, even though it really wasn't him? I think that those distractions are another thing that probably caused some disharmony. There were a lot of distractions this year.
Even with management, because you had the whole thing with Kraft.
Yeah,
I mean, that was
Kraft,
a big hang.
Kraft and AB, especially beginning of the season.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the little incident down in Florida. That was a big thing with Kraft too.
Yeah, that's right. How do we tend to forget? Right.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how we forget such a
massaging
topic.
Very relaxing, you know. Exciting for all the right reasons.
Made me happy.
but you know, one thing that I will say is that, especially as we move along, and I just feel like this is just the beginning, and I just think that if we were to flip the rock over and look at the Belichick side, what does he have at stake? And that's something that I think that we're just beginning to unearth as Brady, Belichick. There's a lot more at stake than just the Brady side. Belichick could be like, you know, I think I've had enough. People are not talking about this enough, but it's just within the last 12, 15 hours that people are really beginning to realize the same thing. Like, wow, wait a minute. It's not just Brady here. Belichick also has a big piece of this as well.
What if Brady is waiting to find out if Belichick wants to continue? I mean, there's so many different spins you could have on this.
Yeah.
That could be a fact. Brady probably won't want to continue. If Brady wants to be a Patriot and Belichick is mulling over whether he wants to continue, Brady might say, I don't have the right coach in place. I don't want to do this again. And we may lose on our offensive line coach, too. So, I mean, our offensive coach, too. So I lost my playmaker and I lost my coach. Why would I want to stay? That, you know, people aren't even looking at it like that. They point to Brady, but the reality is there's too many pieces moving here.
And all of that, you don't even know what the situation with Belichick's kid is with the team,
yeah,
too.
Steve Belichick, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, and also, speaking of the offensive coordinator,
yeah,
you want to talk about a strange day and a strange way of turn of events. We all thought and figured that by now McDaniels he'll be hired with a new team. But here comes Carolina. Well, we'll bring him into for an interview. Hold up.
Yep.
No. We're gonna bring in Matt Rhule from Baylor. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy. Here come the New York Giants. Hey, how you doing? Come on down to the Big Apple, brother. We'll bring him in for an interview. Oh, whoa. I'm sorry. We're gonna go with Joe Judge. I'm sorry. Who?
Yeah.
Who the heck is Joe Judge? If you ask the average if you ask the average football fan in America, who's Joe Judge? I'm sorry, who? Oh, that guy who got hired by the Giants? I'm sorry, who is that? How do you, if you're the New York Giants, and this is so crazy how it's intertwined with the Patriots, how do you explain or even sell this to your fan base? If you were a Giants fan, talking to me right now, how do you sell this, that your new head coach hire happens to be
The understudy
and a special teams coach of the most deplorable receiving group that we've seen in quite some time in Joe Judge? How do you sell that? You can't.
You just say, hey, he had a ring from a year ago.
Didn't that's you mean a participation ring? Right.
But there was a meme that went out earlier that I showed you, Shirley, that we both laughed about, and it said, you know, it had Belichick, and it said, all these teams keep on accusing us of cheating, but then again, they all hire my coaches.
Exactly! from Charlie Weiss to Romeo Crennel to Bill O'Brien to Josh McDaniel. Oh, no. Oh, excuse me. He reneged to now Joe Judge. You accuse the Patriots of cheating and trying to find ways to bend rules, but you still pick apart and take their assistant coaches like Cotton. Like, how do you Canning.
So bad you're taking the understudy.
I don't get it.
To the guy that it's his boss.
Thank you. I don't understand this. Like, it's truly baffling thinking about this.
It really hurts the head. It's tough to wrap yourself around, but hey, that's not our problem. Although we have our own.
Yeah.
So, hey, listen, guys, I got to fly back to work. Thanks for having me on, and I guess I'm just gonna have to say, go Celtics, go Bruins.
Absolutely, it's just been. We need some kind of a positive distraction at this point from all of the nauseating quote unquote distraction
The worst part is, come the deadline when the free agency actually opens.
Uh-huh.
It ain't gonna happen that day. Beyond it, this is gonna go into like April or May or something. It's gonna get so dragged out.
I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Yeah.
But definitely enjoy the rest of your night and thanks for calling in as always. Much appreciated, man.
Thank you for having me, and like I said, I hope to be back in the studio soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Later, brother.
All right.
That was Lucky Lou, super fan of the Boston Celtics, joining the show live on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. And I got to ask you, oh man, after all of this, how do you feel? Because I can't believe I'm even at this point where it's like, are we really about to drive ourselves mad with all of this, with every incessant encrypted message from Belichick saying...
Exactly, because it's New England and that's what we do.
God.
Because you've got people that are so ingrained into this team
yes.
that they don't know what it's been like for the past, say, 40 years. You're dealing with a lot of people now that are putting out, you know, what they're hearing and whatnot, because they've only known the Patriots to be this team of the dynasty.
Absolutely.
So this, them dealing with this, it's unheard of.
Yeah.
So this is like the major, major thing for them.
It is.
You know, where, you know, if you've been around sports in New England enough, you know yeah. that this is just another continuance. But
oh, for sure.
to some people, it's going to consume them.
Like, this is actually, without question, bigger than Deflategate in 2016. Because I remember it was continuous, nonstop, everyday discussion about Deflategate. Brady being wrong, quote unquote, by the commissioner. It was a witch hunt, blah, blah, blah. But like I said a couple of days ago, I said, you know, this is a national story now.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Because you when you had Deflategate, okay,
it was also national.
Yeah. Everybody was on it. Because everybody had a say, because all the other teams that got wronged and everything else.
Yeah.
Everybody was on it. This is still national, you know, that it's getting else.
Without question.
But everybody else is taking an interest. But at the end of the day, they're all looking at it going, all right, so if he signs. He don't. Who cares? But if you're in New England, it's a different story.
It really is. It really is, yeah.
People will stay up all night watching, waiting to hear. You don't need. It just like I said, other people in you know, it is a national story, but they're going, wow, I wonder if he is going to sign, or hey, maybe we can pick him up. And at the end of the day, they're going about their day, and it's not a big deal. But for everybody else in New England, it's consuming.
It really is consuming. Speaking of time, we got to pause for a moment for station identification and PSA. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. We'll be back in just a flash. Just hang tight.
91.5 WMFO Medford.
And we got a PSA to play, and this one is also presented by 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford as well, so stick around.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show here on 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford. Coming up next, we're going to continue the Pats talk, but another team in town maybe dealing with a little bit of a scandal? Maybe? Don't run now. You've been caught. So that and much more coming up next on the Shukri Wright Show after this much-needed music break. This is Shukri Wright's. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tusky Farm Radio. Hour number two of the Shukri Wright Show is coming up next. Stick around.